Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
I'm chatting with Donald McKay, CEO of XA Global Trade Advisors. Donald, appreciate the time. The International Trade Administration Commission is taking comments on price preference system. I want to start with that. We're talking particularly around scrap metal, but price preference system. What is this? How does this fit in the sort of bigger picture?
Yeah, so the price preference system is an industrial policy of government mm-hmm. to reduce the price of scrap metal to consumers in South Africa. So before you can get permission to do an export of scrap metal, you have to offer it to the domestic industry at a discount. And the size of the discount varies according to metal. But for example, on steel, you have to offer it at 30% below mm-hmm. the global price. Only if you get no takers at that point, can you get an export permit?
Okay. And there's taking comments. I'm assuming that therefore, it seems like a fair process. Or are there some perhaps T's and C's? I mean, public comments, and I suppose in this case, sectoral comments are an important part of defining policy.
Yeah. So I think they're absolutely crucial. And you have no reason off the bat to think that this particular process will be compromised by ITAC. But yeah, the taking of comment is incredibly important.
And is there seeing, I mean, is there T's and C's? I mean, is this an industry or a sector comment? Is this a much wider comment? I mean, is there a sense that there will be a process where impacted and affected people can get part of the process?
Yeah, so process is, firstly, it is open, so, you know, it gets gazetted, and mm-hmm. anyone who wants to have their say can have their say. This is very, very focused on one particular issue, which is, you know, what do we do with PPS? Do we keep it the same as it has been? Do we update some of the rules? Over the years, there's been fairly intense lobbying, which has resulted in a PPS which has become incredibly restrictive to the upstream producers that generate the scrap. So, mm-hmm. you know, automotive companies, packaging companies, that sort of thing. And so they've been under quite a lot of pressure as we don't only have the 30%, but we've had additional rules added, which place an even greater squeeze on them. And I think the outcome of all of this would be to say, do we need to make some adjustments to make this process perhaps a little more fair?
And those adjustments, I mean, is it just around pricing in terms of the scrap metal, or is there more to it?
Well, it's predominantly a price issue. This doesn't touch on anything related to theft and all of the other problems.
Sure.
This is very simply a way to transfer a discount from one group of companies and give that benefit to another. So this is very much a price issue.
And does this, I mean, discount, that pricks up my ears. That always seems like a nice idea. I mean, is this discount then, I would imagine, the plan is then to flow through to the ultimate manufactured product?
Well, that's a little more difficult. So you've got a regulated set of rules that determine what that purchase price will be, mm-hmm. but you don't, on the other end, have an equivalent set of rules on the selling price. Having said all of that, it does appear to flow through into the finished product. And we know this because companies like ArcelorMittal, you might recall last year, said they were now struggling to compete with these mini mills that consume the scrap because, you know, they were not getting an equivalent discount on iron ore, but their competitors were getting the discount on raw material. So presumably that does mean the price is flowing through to the consumer.
Okay, that's actually quite crafty. Yeah, I can see how that sort of the disparate pieces do sort of add together. I mean, this is in a sense, I mean, this is a South African issue, and this is very much the I'm trying to think the phrase of it, but the sort of grand scheme of in a sense maybe protecting / helping sectors. I mean, I'm thinking there are others that have had tough times. Clothing, most notable in our market.
Yes, so this is without a shadow of a doubt a protectionist policy. I think what makes a distinct difference here is you're taking away money from a very productive sector of the economy, but one that is under pressure, which is your primary manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And you're giving it to the sector which requires the subsidy to survive. And that concerns me a little bit. So this is not a this is not a measure of support that is given to get something off the ground and then over time it is weaned away. This is kind of a permanent feature. And so the effect of that is you're taking one part of your economy and you're favoring it at the cost of another. Whereas when you talk about, let's say, an import duty on clothing, yes, the consumer ultimately funds that, but you're dealing with an imported product. Yeah. Here, you're choosing between two South African sectors, and I'm not sure, when looked at a macro level, that trade-off is always as good as we think it is.
100%. I mean, my immediate question is, who and how do we choose? I mean, is there a government process to make that choice?
Well, we don't know that. So that is all opaque. It on the face of it, you could say, well, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Look at all the jobs that have been created in the minimals. And it's undeniably true that jobs have been created. But because you're siphoning off relatively small amounts by comparison from each company and then giving a lot of those small amounts to a very small number of companies, it's very easy to see who the winners are. It's a lot more difficult to count the losers, but it would follow that this cannot be a victimless crime. Maybe crime is a poor word.
Sure.
But there is somebody else's funding this, and PPS transfers around 8.5 billion rand a year into a relatively small number of companies. So we're not talking small amounts of money here at all.
Is this why what was the original genesis for deciding to review the price preference system?
Yeah, so that I'm honestly not sure what caused that decision to be taken. It was taken, and in principle, it's a good idea to review all of your industrial policies periodically. So it could be just the fact that it's been around since about 2012 or 13, and maybe this sense that we just need to have a look at this thing. We don't always get told the reasons for the reviews, but I think in principle, it's very good that ITAC does these periodic reviews.
And what sort of timeline are we looking at in terms of this? How long should or could the process take?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question to answer. I mean, in theory, this shouldn't take more than a few months to wrap up. But this is also a highly political situation. So the winners in all of this, the people that are receiving that 8.5 billion a year, are going to fight tooth and nail to keep it. So you can imagine what we see on the surface is just a fraction of what is going to be going on behind the scenes, as these very large winners are going to want to hold on to those winnings as much as possible.
Yeah, 8.5 billion is a giant number. There's no disputing that. We'll leave it there. That's Donald McKay, CEO of XA Global Trade Advisors. Appreciate the time.
Heart Business on Heart 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.